910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a week after Ukraine agreed to a U.S. proposal on a 30-day ceasefire with Russia, President Trump and Russia's leader scheduled to hold a phone call tomorrow. ABC's James Longman is in Kyiv and says Vladimir Putin, though, has already expressed concerns over the terms.
He has said he doesn't believe in ceasefires. He wants to negotiate the whole deal up until the end of the fighting, and only then will he agree. But he has envisaged huge parts of Ukraine to be as part of Russia. I mean, he's written into the Constitution two regions, Kherson and Zaporizhia.
President Trump visiting the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts today. It's his first visit since he removed members of the board and named himself chair. He told the board he plans to use some of the money from the trade tariffs to make improvements to the nation's capital and the arts center. At least 42 deaths being blamed on the string of volatile storms since Friday, with tornadoes tearing across nine states. And stocks ending up a bit today on news. Retail sales were up slightly last month. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that they can help protect rare plants and endangered animals through their income tax forms. According to a press release, Wisconsinites can make a donation to the DNR's Endangered Resources Fund on their tax forms, with the donations being matched and going directly to conservation efforts. Officials say there are over 400 wildlife species and 300 plant species in the state that are either endangered, threatened, or seeing population decline. A recent report found Wisconsin's roadways ranked 26th in overall road cost effectiveness and condition this year. According to the annual highway report from the Reason Foundation, the state jumped 7 spots in the rankings, which cover road and bridge safety, pavement quality, and cost effectiveness. Among the individual categories ranked, Wisconsin finished 7th in rural fatalities and 10th in urban and other fatalities. The state's worst category was urban arterial pavement condition, where it ranked 44th in the country. A Spooner man is now facing charges after a shoplifting investigation led to law enforcement authorities discovering another warrant out for his arrest. According to court documents, 28-year-old Levi Jacobson was accused of stealing food items from a grocery store in Spooner and was soon after located on a nearby trail by authorities. When the responding officer discovered Jacobson had an outstanding warrant for his arrest, he allegedly became combative and made multiple threats to the life of the officer while being taken into custody. Duluth East High School officials say they will implement new security procedures after a fight involving a student from a neighboring district on Thursday. According to school officials, a student at Duluth East intentionally let the individual into the building on Thursday before the incident began. As of Friday, visitors and students who enter the building after the first bell will need to sign in with the administrative office and show their school ID. Officials say a school resource officer responded to the fight in seconds and de-escalated the situation quickly. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
March Madness is here. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the brackets are out. The Badgers play in Denver Thursday afternoon at 12:30 against Montana in the Ball Arena in Denver for the opening round of the NCAA basketball tournament. Marquette is going back to the dance. They face New Mexico Friday night in Cleveland. Head coach Shaka Smart.
This is a date that, as a basketball player or a basketball coach, you have circled on your calendar way before the season even starts. And it's something like 18% of teams end up playing in the NCAA tournament. So we don't take for granted even being in the NCAA tournament. This is really an acknowledgement today of the fact that our guys earned the right to be in the tournament, and now it's all about what we do with it.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Thunder 121-105. Damian Lillard on how the Thunder were different than the team they beat in the NBA Cup last December.
I just think, you know, obviously they are who they are. They defend, you know, they move the ball, they got a deep team, and I just thought that we played a better game the first time.
That's Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly sunny and breezy today, with winds whipping out of the south, gusting up to 30 to 40 miles per hour. It's creating a high fire danger. It'll also warm us up today to the mid-50s. Then tomorrow, we become mostly cloudy, staying mild and breezy as the storm system sits on our back doorstep. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Hopefully your St. Patrick's headache has gone away. We'll be discussing top broadband officials exiting the U.S. Department of Commerce, what it means for broadband in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy St. Paddy's Day to us all. You can be a part of this fine production. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. And our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. And, of course, we wrap the show up today, as we always do, a new tradition here on the Dom Salvia Show. Tell us something good.
And it's you say new, but it's like we've been doing this for almost 2 months.
Well, it's new. I mean,
it's newish.
Ish, yeah, newish. Sure. And we love it.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of fun. So please engage with us, 855-752-4842. I know it's St. Paddy's Day, so I know some of you folks are already out having a good time. Be safe out there. We appreciate you tuning in. But remember, if you're just starting to celebrate, you can't drink it all day if you don't start in the morning. So you already missed it by about 4 hours. And all you rookies out there, come on, people. You know what I mean? If you're not used to doing it like that, just go easy.
Pace yourself.
Pace yourself.
Eat something.
Water is good, too.
Water is great.
Yeah, stay hydrated.
You can have green water.
Get a little bit of food in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that helps
Don't
the longevity.
Drive.
Don't drive. Take an Uber. Have a designated driver. I know a lot of folks are celebrating over the weekend already, but today's the day. So it's like another additional excuse. Yeah, I know we celebrated last weekend, but today's the day. We're going to celebrate with you, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Celebrating? I don't know if it's celebration. We are spending lots of money, folks. This Wisconsin Supreme Court race is bussin'. That's what the kids are all saying.
I don't think that's the proper use of that term.
No. Okay. We're spending a lot of money. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Allison Durr, Daniel Bice, Wisconsin Supreme Court election headed for record smashing spending of $100 million. It's
wow.
The Dr. Evil of state Supreme Court
races. $100 million. And just to be clear, we still have 3 weeks to go.
That's the estimate.
Okay, so that's the estimate for how much will be spent.
Correct.
Total. Okay.
That's correct. Nick Ramos, our buddy over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, he's the executive director. He's a guest on this show occasionally. Right now, we are seeing unprecedented spending. Oh, yeah. With 2 weeks to go before the April 1 election, the two campaigns and special interest groups are already closing in on the $51 million national spending record for a court race that the organization tallied in the hard-fought 2023 election. Last time around! In that race, the ideological control of the state Supreme Court flipped from conservative to liberal, and that's going on again. Schimmel, of course, and Susan Crawford, that's the one you want to vote for. A key metric to predict the price tag of the upcoming election comes from independent expenditures, spending for or against a candidate without consultation or coordination with the supported candidate. Yeah, so they say. That figure has increased about 103% from the same point 2 years ago, said Samantha DeForest Davis, research director for the Watchdog Group. Specifically, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has tallied $29.24 million in independent expenditures 2 weeks out from the election, compared with $14.41 million at the equivalent date in 2023. Unlike 2 years ago, this year's race did not feature a primary. These numbers will continue to increase daily, she said. Some of the big bucks coming in. The race has featured more than $11 million in spending by Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Everybody's favorite, Elon. Why does everybody hate me? Why is everyone mad at me?
Do you want the short list or the long?
Because I don't put up with the woke stuff. You know, that's Elon. Wonder why people don't like him. He just says stupid things like that. Because you say stupid things, Elon Musk, and you're not
and
doing...
And you do stupid things.
And you're not really doing a great job, I just got to tell you. The race has featured more than $11 million in spending by Musk, and a seven-figure counter-initiative by Democratic leaders dubbed The People v. Elon Musk. Now, is this a website?
Yes, it is. ThePeopleVElonMusk.com.
All right, check it out. Nick Ramos said much attention has been focused on Musk because of his spending via the America PAC, his super PAC, and a second group, the political nonprofit Building America's Future, in addition to his front group calling itself Progress 2028. I mean, well... What's the point of all that? You know, if you're going to spend all, I'm Elon Musk and here's the money. Mm. Why you got to go through all this different front group here, different front group here, different super PAC here?
Because it's shady stuff. Some of it's not, frankly, legal.
Not legal.
Mm.
Shouldn't be legal.
Right.
Still, you know, Musk is not the only ultra-wealthy person directing large sums of money into the race. On the liberal side, yeah. Funders have included billionaire investor George Soros. Oh, the mega's favorite, George Soros. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, Milwaukee philanthropist Lynn Uline, and retired software engineer Gloria Page, mother of Google co-founder Larry Page. On the conservative side, donors include, you know, the same cast of characters, I guess, all the time, both left and right. ABC supply owner Diane Hendricks, the widow Hendricks, dubbed the country's wealthiest self-made woman. Elizabeth Uline president, one of the biggest Republican donors in the U.S., and Joe Ricketts, founder of Ameritrade and an owner of the Chicago Cubs. So if you just need another reason not to like the Chicago Cubs, Joe Ricketts, their owner, he wants to get Brad Schimmel elected. Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign said this: the millionaires and the billionaires are right now hedging their bets and trying to see how we come out of April 1. Daniel Bice and Allison Durr reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now, can we all my mega friends out there and all you Schimmel supporters, this is crazy, right? $100 million being projected to be spent in this race. So we had another couple of weeks here, right?
We got 3 weeks.
And so if the math is right, so they're going to be spending $50 million between now and then, just roughly call it.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of ads.
That's so much.
I've been watching some Marquette basketball, some Badger men's basketball, you know, and these things are popping
they're
up.
They're everywhere.
They're just everywhere. And it's going to be more. It's going to get more.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't early voting start soon, too?
Early voting starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow. There you go, folks. So yeah, a very, very important race. And if you judge the importance of this race by the amount of money being spent, this is the most important election of your lifetime. Why do we keep on hearing that? The most important election of your lifetime, and it very well may be. And it's, you know, it's also, you know, certainly it's going to affect, you know, us here in the state of Wisconsin. But it's also, I think, in some regards, it's really the first time we're going to be able to voice our displeasure with this current administration, or our pleasure with it if you're one of the, you know, supporters of Brad Schimmel. And I saw a social media picture of Brad Schimmel over the weekend with a bunch of ladies in front of a probably, what, 20 or 30 foot blow-up doll of Donald Trump.
Ew.
Okay, I said, you know, it was not great, you know. Uh-huh. You know, fist in the air. Yeah. It looks like him. Uh-huh. You know, big, uh-huh, big, burly, ugly.
Yeah.
But wow, man, what a presentation. I mean, so if you vote for Brad Schimmel, you are voting for Donald Trump. He is.
Well, he's been very, very explicit about it. Donald Trump doesn't do this alone. He needs a support network.
And I'm as his support network. Me and the Bad Uline and the Widow Hendricks, we are the support for that. So, folks, it's going to be you know, it's going to be a call. And you know, so make sure you get out there and vote. It is going to be very important. You got to push back on what Schimmel will be a rubber stamp for the Trump administration. He's said it. And let's not forget, you know, all this work that Schimmel's going into with all the knee pads and buying all those knee pads at Menards. Not supposed to beg for the money. So there we go. Also, Ben Wickler, chair of the WIS Dems, on the contrarian.
Yeah.
We love the contrarian Substack. Jennifer Rubin and Ben Wickler having a conversation in this regard, speaking of the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. We got a little bit of sound from that. Just doing hard work on that. So let's go to that while we have some time here. The stakes in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Cut one, please.
We have a path to win a blow, not just against Republicans, against Brad Schimmel, the Republican candidate, and for Susan Crawford, but against Elon Musk in his biggest political battle since he bought the White House last year.
I love how he's got to dig it in since he bought the White House last year. Yes, certainly a referendum on how this administration is performing, and a decision for us here in the state of Wisconsin how we want to be governed and what kind of characters and values we want our Wisconsin Supreme Court justices to have. Jennifer Rubin and Ben Wickler, let's hear cut number two.
There's two ways to think about why it is that Elon Musk has, at this point, from his closed spending, poured in $10.2 million into this race, which is way more than anyone has ever spent in a Wisconsin judicial race. That's more than the entire races used to cost. And at one level, his bottom line is at stake, just like it is in the federal government. So he has a lawsuit against the Wisconsin state law that says you sell cars through car dealerships to try to sell direct to people to sell Teslas. And that's going through the court system. And if he buys our state Supreme Court, he'll be able to sell more Teslas in Wisconsin. And I have to say, you know, there's been a lot of press coverage about a horrific accident where a Tesla crashed and then the doors wouldn't unlock because the car turned off and people burned to death in the car. So there's not a lot of love for Teslas in our state right now, and there's protests happening. But nonetheless, he wants to sell more of his cars here. And if he buys the judiciary, he can do that. But at the other level, he doesn't want any check on his power. And as we know, when a state convicts someone of a felony in that state, Trump can't pardon them. So if he can buy the court system in states like Wisconsin, then he, you know, prevents any kind of accountability for laws that he may break. And that is something he seems very interested in. He's, you know, posting all the time about impeaching federal judges. Well, if you can buy the Supreme Court, the deciding vote in a evenly divided court in Wisconsin, the closest state in the country, that opens the door to all kinds of shenanigans. And he's got in Brad Schimmel, a guy who was just saying at a Republican event that Trump was screwed over in 2020 when the Supreme Court came within one vote but did not overturn the 2020 presidential election. So if you want to just destroy American democracy, it's not enough to run the federal government. You also have to take over the states, especially the state courts. And that is exactly what Elon Musk is trying to do with Brad Schimmel.
Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler getting interviewed by Jennifer Rubin, now at the Contrarian, formerly of the Washington Post. We don't go there much anymore. Nope. We do have a little bit more sound of this conversation. We're going to come back on the other side and play that for you. $100 million. Nick Ramos and the fine crew over the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign predicting that is what will be spent. Over $50 million already has been spent. We're over 100% of where we were last time around in 2003, folks. So if you're sick of all the ads now, wait, it's going to get worse. But the good news is April 1st, we'll have a chance to send Schimmel packing. A little bit more from Ben Wickler and you folks on the phones as well. 855-752-4842. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Come back with us.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments.
as many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We recognize the groundbreaking achievements of Elizabeth Bayard. She defied the odds to become the first female journalist in Northeast Wisconsin. It was the mid-1800s. Bayard was considered a trusted voice as she wrote about the developing area of the territory known as Green Bay. Her reporting revealed the stories of women and families, offering a fresh perspective in a male-dominated press at that time. Perseverance, passion, and breaking barriers, Bayard is a part of Green Bay and Wisconsin history, and a symbol of the progress women continue to make every day. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Lisa Hale.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Happy St. Paddy's Day. I haven't even had a beer yet. I feel like I'm losing my mind over here. Got a different mic. I think maybe Maggie walked out with my soda. I have her pink cup here. I don't know what's happening right now. But we're gonna get through it. We're gonna get through it together. 855-752-4842, talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, perhaps $100 million, $100 million, going to be spent here in the state of Wisconsin. Ben Wickler having a conversation with Jennifer Rubin over at the Contrarian Substack. We got one more cut, I believe.
Indeed.
Let's hear the question about this front group, right? This Progress 2028, this another way that Elon Musk is funneling his money to try to fool people. I don't know. Let's hear the conversation. Cut three, please.
Something funny going on, and I don't mean comical. I mean peculiar and weirdly dangerous, about a shadow group that is reaching out to Wisconsin voters. What is that all about?
So I've gotten messages from a few kind of former conservatives who've seen ads from a group called Progress 2028. And they're seeing these ads that are like, Susan Crawford is your progressive champion, talking about how liberal she is. And they're like, this seems kind of tone deaf. I don't know why I'm getting these ads. It turns out this is a Musk front group. Musk is funding this group. It's the same group that ran ads to Muslims saying Trump, Harris supported Israel, and to Jews saying Harris supported Palestine. This group, which is not registered as spending any money in this race, is running ads to conservatives talking about how progressive Susan Crawford is as a way of getting conservatives to turn out to support Brad Schimmel. It's a dirty trick, pretty straightforwardly. It's also against the law to run ads through a front group that hasn't registered or reported its spending. Apparently, he thinks that if he buys the Supreme Court and breaks the law doing it, that he can get off the hook from a court that he has then bought and owns.
Why not? I mean, everything's for sale these days.
Susan Crawford isn't.
Well, no, I mean, but she's certainly getting money spent on her behalf.
So,
I mean, at the end of the day, and I would hope that a lot of us can agree, man, regardless of the politics, the money is just sick. $100 million, come on.
It's ridiculous. That much money could be used for 100 million better things.
Right. You could give it to me.
Yeah.
And I'll do my damnedest to spend it. 855-752-4842. Spending all your money. Other people's money. That's why they call it OPM. Jeannie from Eau Claire, you are up. Welcome, Jeannie. Happy St. Patty's Day. What do you got for us?
Well, same to you guys.
Thank you.
I'm calling today because I got to keep reminding people, because I didn't know, people didn't know this, that judges are there for 10 years. We put up with Schimmel, with Scotty Walker, not 10 years. And this is a 10-year stint for this guy. In addition to that, now I'm living in south of Eau Claire in a rural area, and I have already received 8 flyers, those cardboard kinds, about, you know, like 5x8 or something like that, for Schimmel, and 0 for Crawford. And they'll start out with, you know, a judge Wisconsin can trust with Schimmel, the nice guy, and then Susan Crawford won't keep our community safe. I mean, each side shows how wonderful he is, and then the opposite side, and they're all from the Americans for the Prosperous.
Oh,
for Prosperity.
Yeah, AFP.
Every one of them. Yeah. Anyway, thank you. I hope people get out and vote in other areas. Please get out and vote so you can counteract all the money spent in my area. And you guys have a great day. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Jeannie. Appreciate it. Obviously, lots of money getting spent. AFP spending money on behalf of Schimmel up in the Eau Claire area per Jeannie. And I got to wonder, you know, is what the plan is for the Crawford campaign in that area. I did get over the weekend, actually, a handwritten note addressed to my wife. Your vote is your voice. Dear Stephanie, and this is like very nice, handwritten, multicolored. Yes, red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
And black ink, of course. Please vote for Judge Susan Crawford. Now, Judge Susan Crawford is all in blue. It's very nice. Very nice. For State Supreme Court on April 1st. They actually
Tuesday,
have the date, right?
April 1st.
And that's in red. And, you know, the color's jumping out at you. Now, we did see some, incorrect. Some people,
yes, we
putting
have
these kinds
been
of things
seeing
with the wrong
some flyers
date.
Out that are saying to vote for. We're speaking specifically vote for Susan Crawford, April 11th. Y'all, the election is Tuesday, April 1st.
So either someone was intentionally wrong or ignorant.
We saw too many different kinds for it to
be wrong, unintentional,
right?
The one we got here, the rest of my wife, talks about Crawford, a former prosecutor, now circuit court judge. Crawford has the right experience and will protect our rights. For election info, go to myvote.wi.gov. Thanks, Faye, volunteer. Well, thank you, Faye. A fine note here with excellent penmanship and multicolors to make it stand out. Thank you for doing your time. I know my wife and a lot of folks have put time in to write these kinds of things, and I'd help out, but my handwriting sucks. You know what?
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's not as bad as Trump's Sharpie thing, but it's not much better.
It's pretty close. Like,
literally, I had some notes written down, and Steph comes and she looked at me. I can't even read this. What does this say? Oh, baby, I can read it. Don't worry about it. I got
as long
this.
As you can read it, that's
right.
That's all that matters.
855-752-4842. LA Tom, you're next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got?
Well, first off, I think Jeannie is just a treasure, and I love her out there in Eau Claire. So thank you, Jeannie. In fact, it just shows us, once again, money in politics is really the problem.
Yeah.
You know, she's getting 10 flyers from Schimmel, you know, none from Crawford, and, you know, and that's probably because of money in politics. It's just very, very simple. Also, Dom, I really want you to, if you can, do a deep dive into the difference between public versus private, because I really don't think the American people understand the difference. And Donald Trump wants to privatize, profitize everything. And it's just, I think that, you know, if someone's house is burning down and they need to call up their fire.
Ah, Tom, sorry, man. Got to cut short. Heartbreak coming up. Yes, they have a tendency to privatize the profits, socialize the loss. Come back with us. 855-752-4842.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction Dr. Jill Underley and her challenger Brittany Kinzer will both participate in a candidate forum this week ahead of the April 1st election. The virtual forum will be held online from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday and could be the only live forum to feature both candidates for the position. A link to the live forum is available online and a full recording will be available afterwards. The forum will be moderated by Dr. Kevin Lawrence Henry Jr., an associate professor from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reminding families and teachers to keep an eye on the mental health of their kids and students as they return from spring break. According to health officials, self-harm incidents with kids between the ages of 10 and 19 tend to increase following a return from a long school break or during transition periods. They're reminding families and teachers to look out for signs that kids and students may be struggling with their mental health. They're also reminding residents about the 988 Mental Health Crisis Hotline. With the permanent closure of Northland College approaching, a program that provided hundreds of meals for seniors in partnership with the school will also cease operations. Chartwell's Dining Services had been operating out of the school, providing meals for seniors in Ashland and Bayfield counties. In addition to meal deliveries, the organization also used the school to host seniors for lunch services. Officials from both counties say they're now scrambling to find another option for providing meals for seniors, which is required under state law. The Rice Lake City Council plans to rezone the National Guard Armory building property as they consider purchasing the site. The Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs is selling the building and offered the city and Barron County the right of first refusal. The property has been appraised at $550,000, and city officials are seeking potential partners for development or even holding a referendum vote to let residents decide if they should purchase it. The city council wants to rezone the property for commercial purposes. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A new documentary says We Are Not Alone. The Age of Disclosure premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival in early March and claims aliens are real and that the government has covered up their existence for the last 80 years. The doc claims non-human biological matter has been collected from spacecraft crash sites. Director Dan Farah interviewed 34 government officials who confirmed some type of extraterrestrial life, but the film does not offer a whole lot of actual proof other than talking heads. No confirmation as to whether or not people have actually been probed. As promised, I said I would report back when I finished the show Zero Day on Netflix. The six-parter starring Robert De Niro and Joan Allen explores what happens after a massive grid outage that kills over 3,000 Americans. Zero Day has some great moments, but ties everything up a little too neatly at the end. Having said that, De Niro is great. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Now the Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. A winter storm watch has been posted for Tuesday night into Wednesday. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 26, a few sprinkles and 45 on Tuesday. Rain changing to snow Tuesday night, snow on Wednesday, and snow could be heavy at times.
It's 51 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is coming to Eau Claire to do a town hall in Derek Van Orden's district, since Derek Van Orden appears to be a little shy.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS working hard on the board. Our pal, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Going to get to your calls and your texts and a new topic. But let's kind of wrap up this old topic, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Not really an old topic, current topic. Spending $100 million, perhaps, in this cycle, as Tom said, reiterated by other texters, AJ from Madison, get money out of politics. Yeah, man, that's what I'm saying. I think, again, conservatives, can't we agree that? Do we agree with that? Do we want that kind of money, right or left? I mean, no, you don't like George Soros money. So how do you Musk money?
See, and I'd like 10 times as much Musk money.
And so how about we just say, okay, I don't want any of that. Let's just put a cap on it. Maybe do some publicly financed elections. Let's come up with some other ideas. Even if you, again, concur that money is speech, well, speech can be regulated. Hence, you cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. And I think this kind of spending is akin to yelling fire in a crowded theater. It should be regulated. It is too much. What else we got? Most important election of the rest of our lifetime. Most important was last November, and we're paying for it now. Yeah, ain't that the truth? Bill from Waukesha. Pint of Guinness is always something good. Yeah, we do something good at the end of the show, Bill, so you're jumping in early. But I do. I think Maggie did leave us some Guinness in the fridge.
Yes, she did.
I have to cap that at the end of the show. Best MAGA definition I've heard yet. Okay, so here's the new acronym for MAGA. Moscow Assets Governing America.
Ooh.
MAGA. Yes.
On point.
Let's see. My buddy Mark from Sussex. Is this a live? Is this a live or a worst of versus best of? He's not a fan, but he's listening. Just BS about Republicans buying an election. Kamala, $1 billion in 3 to 4 months, please. Yeah, man, a lot of money spent in elections, Mark from Sussex. Can we agree that it's too much? It's too much on Musk. It's too much on Pritzker. It's too much, pick your right, pick your left. Pick your billionaire, man. I don't like take your billionaire to work days. I think we should, as a people, we have the right, the ability to change that. Let's do something about that, Mark from Sussex, unless you're down with all that liberal money. But I can't think you are. If you're not down for the liberal money, you certainly shouldn't be down for the conservative money. Let's just, do something about that, Mark. Can we agree on that? Very simple. Our buddy Tom, what he was trying to say, jumps on the YouTube. Check us out on the YouTube station at Civic Media. Was trying to say, Tom, we ran out of time in the last segment. I was trying to say, if you have to call a company to come put out your fire and they ask you, did you pay your dues? By then your whole house could be burned down. That's why a public government fire department. And good point. It wasn't always that way, right? And what if you didn't pay your fire dues, right? Instead of before it was a tax and everything's just taxed and everyone has to pay it. Whether you want to pay it or not, because it's taxed, it goes towards that. Because if you've got houses close to each other and one person whose house is on fire but did not pay their dues, well, it could damage the house next door who did pay their dues. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, while, you want to be all individual and not have to worry about paying those taxes, I don't care if my house burned down. Yeah, but there can be other damage, collateral damage. It could spread from your house to another house. See what I'm saying? So, and to Tom's point, that is why we have these things, man. Fire department. Are you against the fire department, people? I mean, is that socialism? A little too much fire department socialism? Clean water? Too much, too much.
Can't have that.
What would they call Milwaukee? The sewer socialists, right? Look at our water systems, man. Come on. It's not private. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let's see. Wes, glad to be seeing Crawford camp start to hit back, at least in Madison and Milwaukee, where I'm consuming the media. Even heard a Crawford ad in the restroom at the Bucks game in the bathroom. Seemed like they picked up the pace in the last week or two. We need to get in the mud. Clap back. Yeah. Sound off. 1, 2. Clap back, baby. That's what I'm saying, Wes. Thank you for your contribution. 855-752-4842. Jane from Madison. Yes, L.A. Tom, public versus private is an important topic. Public is good, transparent, nonprofit, private, not usually nonprofit, and often not transparent. Some things really need to be public, in my opinion, such as prison schools, voting systems. Sometimes public-private partnerships work, but they're not the same, and citizens need to know the difference. Yeah, we have a lot of learning to do. We got a lot of education to catch up on these days, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Someone from the WMDX 608 number, you played Dropkick Murphys' bump music. Yes, we did. It's St. Paddy's Day. So, you know, got to play a little Irish music, right? Have you seen the article about their bet with a Trump supporter about where his T-shirt was made, Drew, in Madison? I saw the link, but I didn't get into it. Do you know anything about that one?
Not much. I breezed through it while I was preparing for it. But they came out to tell Trump to back off.
Oh, yeah. They're not. Dropkick Murphys are not Trump fans. And
no,
in fact,
I think I saw a headline, like, Trump got dropkicked.
Scott Walker, remember Scott Walker's run for president?
Uh-huh.
He came out and used the Dropkick Murphys, that song, Shipping Up to Boston, as his walkout music.
Strange choice for a Wisconsinite looking to go to Washington, D.C.
And Dropkick Murphys were having none of it. Like, Scott Walker, stop using our music. Uh-huh. We literally hate you. That's what they tweeted out to him. We literally
hate
you. Well, I mean,
you
know, Dropkick Murphys are big pro-union cats and working man cats and all this stuff. And they play it in their music and they say it in their concerts. I mean, come on, man. It's like Ronald Reagan playing Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. It's like, do you know the lyrics, man?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what you're playing? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We got a F around and find out story. We'll get to momentarily. A Wisconsin man voted for Trump. Now his wife sits in an ICE detention center. I think sometimes my wife wishes I would be in an ICE detention center, but we'll get to that in just a little bit.
Fortunately for her, you are protected by the 14th Amendment.
For now, we'll see what happens. Talk a little trash on the radio might be problematic someday. 855-75-CIVIC. Ron from Milwaukee, you will be next. Welcome, Ron. What do you got for us?
Yeah, from the party that's turning the Environmental Protection Agency into the environmental protection racket, destroying atmospheric, monitoring and rulemaking. And Brad Schimmel's down good with that and talks about it all the time. And yet we're supposed to believe that he's no worse than she is. I mean, that's not what he's saying in his campaign ads, but that's basically it. Because, you know, she's talking about, you know, his decisions in a handful of rape trials or a bunch of rape trials.
Oh, yeah, right.
And she's doing the same. And it's like, it's all the same, so you should vote for me because I got more experience than everything else. All that stuff is the same. And it's like, yeah, right. It's not true.
It's not true. It's not the same.
You can't go with a 30-second ad. And I really appreciate the Civic Media Network for occasionally or often running this little blurb after a campaign commercial on their station, on your stations, saying, hey, you got to remember, we have to run these ads. They can say anything they like. There aren't any, and voters and citizens should be careful and make independent judgments based on actual facts and not just campaign commercials. They're really right. I really respect that.
Right. Thank you so much, Ron. Appreciate you chiming in. Absolutely right. And if you make your decision based on a campaign ad, you can't tell me you're edumacated on the topic. I'm just saying. If that's what sways
you. Well, you can say edumacated. I believe that's true.
But those ads work, right? That's why they run them. That's why they spend the money. That's why they're going to spend $100 million on this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Thank you, Ron. 855-752-4842. Dale from Wausau, you are up. Welcome, Dale. Happy St. Paddy's Day, man. What do you got for us?
Yeah, Dale. Don. I think that Susan Crawford needs to be the next Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. We've had enough of Schimmel. He's been a disaster in the past, and him following the Trump administration, if he should get into the office, is just going to be a complete disaster. It's going to be terrible for Wisconsin and the country, actually.
Yeah.
And I have a couple things I wanted to mention about tariffs and Greenland, if I could.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I think the ultimate objective of tariffs is to alienate as many of our NATO allies as possible, to leave us by ourselves, weakened and vulnerable to authoritarian impulses in our own government and authoritarian governments in the world, disguised as retribution and protecting ourselves from supposed unfairness from our NATO ally countries. I think we will see tariffs imposed on additional NATO allies. And I think the tariffs are also being used to weaken our NATO allies. On Greenland, there is something strategically and geographically important to the Trump administration for this push to buy or make Greenland part of the United States. And I hear now, too, that Trump is talking to Denmark, who has some control or ownership over Greenland, about buying apparently millions of eggs from Denmark in return for Denmark turning Greenland over to the United States. So it's really a circus. And they are really focused. They're really focused on Greenland. And I think it's strategic, and I think it's geographical importance to the Trump administration.
Thank you, Dale. To what end? I mean, certainly from a location standpoint, you can understand, but it doesn't mean you have to buy it. You can, you know, do there's some sort of agreement for an expanded base or something along those lines, man. There's a lot of ways to, you know, get done, but I'm, you know, he's not very articulate what he's trying to accomplish, right? He never is, at least with us. Thank you, Dale. And your other thought, I think, is also a good one. If you believe that Donald Trump is using these tariffs to weaken NATO, if you're along those lines, then maybe you think a little bit like Russia. I mean, I know Russia. You guys are Russia. And Donald Trump, you know, laments us all the time. But obviously, we know from the reporting, we know from history, Russia, Vladimir Putin, not a big fan of the NATO. So any chaos that can be caused or stirred up or driven by the chaos commander in chief, that all bodes well for Putin and the other authoritarians, Dale, I guess, to your point. You know, why is it that right now Donald Trump is saying these things, doing these things? To what end? To make America wealthy again? Well, what does that mean? You know, how do you define that? Oh, we're making billions of dollars. Well, who's paying that, man? It's just a tax on the people, and it's increasing the cost for those that would buy those products. So I'm not clear how these tariffs make America wealthy again. And one more thing, Dale. Obviously, we know this. I'm going to keep saying it because Donald Trump renegotiated NAFTA to the USMCA, and he's very proud about that. And we're operating under the USMCA right now, on top of which he's going against that, his own deal that he negotiated. He was very proud of that. He's going against the deal he signed to put these tariffs on. Well, why not? Number one, why did you renegotiate it the way you did? If you had problems with it then, why didn't you change it then? Number two, if you have some issues with what you did and you want to go back to the table and renegotiate it, well, then be a person of good honor and bring people back and renegotiate, man. There's nothing wrong with that. You did it the first time, NAFTA to USMCA. How about USMCA to USM whatever, man? Come up with something else. So that's why I think, to your point, Dale, these things are specific to perhaps make our current friends mad at us. Perhaps we're playing the markets, man. Markets today, up a little bit. So maybe we've digested the first few weeks of these tariffs from Trump. We'll see what happens. Folks, come back with us. F around and find out a Trump voter and his wife on their honeymoon on the way back from Puerto Rico. She gets stopped and asked, are you a citizen? Nope. And off she goes. We're going to get to that story in just a little bit. And don't forget, Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, going to join us at the top of the hour. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you were an Irish Catholic immigrant in the 1840s through the 1920s, many of your Protestant fellow Americans, some of whom joined the xenophobic Know Nothing Party, tried to suppress your vote. A famine in Ireland and economic instability in Germany saw millions of immigrants coming to America beginning in the 1820s. According to Smithsonian Magazine, between 1845 and 1854, 2.9 million immigrants arrived, including an estimated one quarter of Ireland's entire population. In cities like New York and Boston, the mostly Protestant American political elite saw Irish Catholics as a threat to their American culture. In 1849, the shadowy Know Nothing Party arose, a cross between a political party and a street gang, and grew to America's first sizable third party. Historian J.P. Dolan found the Know Nothings elected 8 governors, 100 congressmen, and several mayors. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "When the Know Nothings get control, it will read, 'All men are created equal, except Negroes and foreigners and Catholics.'" They proposed a 21-year wait time for foreign-born immigrants to vote, tried to ban Catholics and foreigners from holding office, even deporting 300 Irish immigrants back to Liverpool. But Irish immigrants, when they could vote, voted in higher numbers. By the 1880s, they became a political force in Boston, New York, and Chicago. I'm Brian Beal.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. A little Thin Lizzy on St. Patty's Day seems totally appropriate. Perhaps a little Guinness later on. Just be us working the board. You folks on the text line and the calls, 855-752-4842. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Bradley Bartell and Camila Munoz had a familiar small-town love story before they collided with immigration politics. They met through mutual friends, had a first date at the local steakhouse, married after 2 years, and were saving to buy a house and have kids. Munoz was already caring for Bartell's now 12-year-old son as her own. But last month, on their way home to Wisconsin after honeymooning in Puerto Rico, an immigration agent pulled Munoz aside at the airport. "Are you an American citizen?" asked the agent. She answered no. She wasn't. She's from Peru. But she and her husband had taken the legal steps so that one day she might get U.S. citizenship. Now, millions of Americans, including her husband Bartell, had voted for President Donald Trump's promise to crack down on quote-unquote criminal illegal immigrants. But 8 weeks in, the mass deportation effort has rapidly expanded to include immigrants whose application for legal status in the country is under review. Even those married or engaged to U.S. citizens are being detained by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, USA Today has learned. Now, in addition to Munoz, they've confirmed, USA Today has, through other attorneys, family members, and documents. Here's who ICE has been detaining for weeks. Remember, he talked about criminal illegal immigrants. Here's one. A woman in her 40s who has lived in the country more than 30 years and is married to a U.S. citizen. Detained for weeks. A woman in her 30s with proof of valid permanent legal residency, whose father and siblings are U.S. citizens, and who first came to the U.S. as a teen. A European woman in her 30s engaged to a U.S. citizen who overstayed her visa when she was 21. A woman engaged to a U.S. legal permanent resident with whom she has lived for 9 years. So some examples. Now, none of the women has a criminal record, according to USA Today review of national law enforcement records. All were in an ongoing legal immigration process and felt comfortable enough boarding a domestic flight. Immigration agents swept each of them up at the airport checkpoints in mid-February in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Neither ICE nor its parent agency, the Department of Homeland Security, responded to multiple requests for comments. Nora Ahmed, the legal director of the ACLU of Louisiana, said immigrants in legal limbo of any kind should take precautions if they plan to travel. Yeah, how about don't travel? There's my precaution.
Land of the free.
The unfortunate answer is they have to be worried, she said. If you are not a citizen of the United States and you are going through an immigration process, your first thought needs to be, how can this process be weaponized against me? Now, David Rosas, an immigration attorney representing Munoz, agreed. Anyone who isn't a legal permanent resident or U.S. citizen is at risk, period. Now, back to the locals, Bartel and Munoz wore their wedding rings for the flight home, secure in the knowledge that the U.S. government knew they had applied for her green card. She had overstayed her original visa, but they reasoned she had been vetted from the start, worked on a W-2, and paid her taxes. Before agents led her away, Munoz pulled off her wedding ring, afraid it might get confiscated. She shoved it into her backpack and handed it to Bartel, her husband. He shook as he watched her disappear. He thought, what the F do I do? What the F do I do? Again, reporting here at the Journal Sentinel. This article has, or this topic has gone nationwide. I saw it in the Raw story. You know, when you make the Raw story, baby, you made the big time. Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary. If an individual is overstaying their visa, they are therefore an illegal immigrant residing in this country, and they are subject to deportation. But Bartel didn't see it that way. Not when he met Munoz in the small Wisconsin town where she had worked lawfully on a temporary visa. Not after they spent months filling out the USCIS paperwork to apply for her legal permanent residency. He saw her as a funny, caring, hardworking woman who came legally, not one of the quote-unquote illegals who the president he supported promised to deport. In the town where they met, Wisconsin Dells. Yeah, man, the Dells. Population less than 3,000 draws tens of thousands of tourists each summer to a constellation of water parks, including one built at as the nation's largest Noah's Ark. Now, Bartel grew up nearby, stayed, and got a job with a decent pay working maintenance for a factory. For Munoz, the Dells region was an adventure. As a college student in Peru studying human resources management, she applied and was accepted to a work-study program, secured a U.S. visa, got a job picking up towels at one of the Dells water parks in 2019. COVID hit. Well, we all know how that went. Flights canceled, borders closed. She couldn't get home. She overstayed her visa. She stayed in the Dells, packing vegetables for a local farm and working food service at hotels. When they met, Bartel gave her his number on a scrap piece of paper. She threw it away, but they connected a few days later on Facebook. He invited her to dinner. Munoz teased that it better not be at McDonald's. On their first date, they both confessed they were looking for a relationship that could last. Aw. I mean, that's right. Is that, don't it's we all want?
Classic little love story.
That's what I'm saying. We all want a little bit of love. But, and we'll jump down here as we run out of time here, Bartel worries about his wife. Quote, emotionally, I'm concerned for her. It can't be easy being trapped in a room with 100 other people. They don't have anything in there. It's just so wasteful. They keep in touch on 20 cents a minute phone calls. She worries about Bartel's son, whether he's eating well or misses her cooking. Both of them have been thinking a lot about Bartel's vote for Trump. I knew they were cracking down, he said. I guess I didn't know how it was going down. Well, sir, now you know. F around, find out. That sucks, man. You guys, cute couple. Sounds like you're happy together, doing all the right things, at least getting there slowly, slowly. That's what you get when you vote for this guy. 855-752-4842. When you come to this show, you get Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, coming up next. Stick around.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by Mini Timaraju, the CEO of Reproductive Freedom for All. We talk about the importance of the Supreme Court race that's heating up. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Congressman Mark Pocan.
Already, people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already, farmers aren't getting their grants. Federal employees are losing their jobs. And this is just the real life ramifications of what's happening.
If you can't convey the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think he's just cutting wasteful spending.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. President Trump making claims about former President Biden's preemptive pardons during his final weeks in office. Trump claiming the pardons of the January 6th Select Committee members and others were, quote, void, vacant, and of no future force of effect, ABC's Jay O'Brien.
The president's reasoning is that, in his view, he says these pardons of January 6th committee members, these preemptive pardons, may have been done with what's called the auto pen, which is the automatic presidential signature rather than a president signing it with their hand. And because they might have been done with the auto pen, Trump doesn't even have any evidence that they were in certitude, but because they might have been done, if they were done with that auto pen, they are then void.
At least 42 people have died after a weekend of storms unleashed tornadoes and wildfires, leaving extensive damage behind across the Midwest and South. And the mayor of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Monroe Nichols, has signed an executive order officially designated June 1st as Tulsa Race Massacre Observance Day. This is ABC News.
I'm James.